Welcome to Every Generation, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossfields, located in Jamesburg, New Jersey, where we teach through the entire Bible, verse by verse, and make application to every generation, so we can grow in our relationship with God.
First, I want to say I'm really honored and humbled just to be standing here in the pulpit tonight. I just think it's a blessing, it's an honor that I can come and share a few words of encouragement, mainly for myself, but you guys are hearing and listening to me speak to myself because this message is for me. You guys happen to be on it by just being in the sanctuary tonight. So I'm hoping that my words speak directly to myself and anyone else that may need to hear. I thought the message tonight is on just sharing some principles of courage. But I got to let you know, I am, for those of you who don't know, I am actually the church comedian. I don't take my responsibility as a captain or usher's team too serious. God has been good to me. So I take every opportunity as a Christian now to really live it to its fullest. Can we put that picture, that dry picture of me standing to the side? Because I want to show you guys something. Can you guys see this guy right here? That's me. And look how serious that look. That was another time in my life. And it's a long story. I was born in a Baptist church, always searching for a male figure in my life. I didn't grow up with a dad, but my mom did a phenomenal job, and she's still with us, and I love her, and she was kind of disappointed she couldn't make it tonight. But along the way, I found a different path structure, and it involved being around some really strong men that really built us up in character and faith. But what was lacking, honestly, was, the spiritual aspect of who God is. But I will say, that picture, it does encompass somebody who needed to be sharpened. And I still think that process, because Matthew 8:28, everything we know, God uses to his glory. And he used that experience in my life for me to really grow in the faith. So I'm going to start in a second. I want to talk about the piece that I'm here to talk about, and that's really courage, because something I can tell you for myself, I went through some things recently. I'm older than most of you, so my life is filled with a bunch of stories and vignettes to tell you, but I will say that along the way, I will say this, Christ has always been with me, whether I knew it or not. Now, when I didn't know it, when I didn't feel it, he was always there for me. So I want to get into this tonight by saying, if I should, by any stretch of the imagination, bomb, I'm going to tell you why. I really am not bombing, because right now, my presentation so far, my sermon, is longer than somebody you already know. So I want to tell you this quick story. So he already knows where he's going, I can tell. So before we moved here, we were with Calvary Chapel in South Brunswick. And so Pastor Joe, one of his first sermons, let me take a step back. We were in the school. It took about 2 hours to set up in the school in South Brunswick because we had to load up the boxes and the bins, and we'd be at the school at 8 o'clock loading up boxes and bins. We go over to South Brunswick Middle School. We set up church. And we're setting up the classrooms for the other ministries with the little kids. We're putting down mats. We're wiping down everything. So this took about 2 hours every Sunday morning for a couple of years in South Brunswick. So Pastor Joe, and that was a two-hour setup. The message was about 40 minutes, 45 minutes when the previous pastor was doing it. So they're making this transition, and it was one of Pastor Joe's first sermons. And this breakdown's the same, maybe less than 2 hours. So Pastor Joe came up. I remember being in the hallway. Pastor Joe came up and, Heather always said this, and I'm making pun of it, but Heather's always said, you know, her husband was anointed to do this, and she was right. Pastor Joe is a very phenomenal pastor who's being led by the Lord. I mean, he doesn't take any credit, but as a church comedian, oh, you guys need to know this, what happened. So Pastor Joe came up, and, you know, all serious, and like he normally is, he stood up here. I remember being in the hallway, and this was probably about 11 o'clock. I was in the hallway, maybe finishing up a task. So I come in about 11:05, maybe, all right, 10 minutes. He was saying the prayer to leave, to go home. That sermon lasted 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Because, you know, just like I'm up here, it's not that it's uncomfortable, but he was nervous the first time he came amongst the members. And I think mine is longer now, right, Pastor Joe? So I think I'm ready to get started, guys. I just wanted to share that with you because I'm like, I can't do any worse than Pastor Joe did that first sermon. We may love him. He's my guy. But, you know, that was, Andrew, you remember that, right? See, Andrew remembers. But I just wanted to make myself feel comfortable because I think the bar he set, I've already exceeded. So thank you, Pastor Joe. So I want to share with you something. Again, the title for this message is really just sharing some principles of courage. And I'm going to talk out of the book of Joshua, my son right there, verses 1 through 9. And what I want to use as a fallback is something that happened to me in 2020. And at the time, we didn't know what, we didn't know when. But I want to just talk about fear versus courage. So what do you fear the most in life? Is it financial security? Is it the loss of your health and the loss of your job, your vocation, that area in which you have worked all your lives? Is it a relationship, somebody in your family, your children? The thing that you fear most of all, maybe it's rejection. Or is it fear, just a simple fear of failure? All of us have those things in our lives that we're confronting with that at some moment that may overwhelm us. They can produce something to be afraid of. Fear is like poison running through your veins. Paul said to young Timothy, he said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear or timidity. He gave us the power. He gave us the spirit of power, sound mind, and love. So if you're living out a life in fear, which we all have those moments. I've had an experience that I can tell you back from 2020, which I'm going to share with you later, that if God didn't give it to us, it came from somewhere. And if God didn't give it to you, then God would rather have us to live another way. And that really is like to live in Him, not in fear. So today I just want to talk about the empowering motion of courage. So I want you to turn to Joshua 1 with me. Now, just to remind you, I mean, there's so many definitions of courage throughout, whether Webster or even in the scripture, but for our purposes tonight, courage is the firmness of spirit that faces danger and intense difficulties in life without flinching or retreating. I'll say it again. It is the firmness of spirit that faces difficulties, extreme difficulties, hardships, trials in life without flinching or retreating. This is a challenge that the Lord gave Joshua concerning this matter of courage. So let's read. Joshua verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and good and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You have to quit. Those are the first nine verses. What would cause God to say to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous? He knew Joshua was facing a challenge, one of his greatest challenges in his life. He had faced challenges before along with Moses, because Joshua was Moses' general. He had been with him when he walked with him many, many years. And now what has happened? Moses is dead. God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, I'm giving you the responsibility of completing the task, leading the nation of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. God knew that Joshua understood this awesomeness of a responsibility. And naturally, you're going to fear Joshua, you would think, would feel some very inadequate, very insecure, and more than likely very fearful. I can relate to Joshua coming up here. I feel inadequate, very fearful. But again, God knew that. So he says to him three times, Joshua, James, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. If you think about the position that he was in, he's in the position of leading some 2 million people across the Jordan. It probably was more than 2 million over the Jordan River to the promised land. And he had promised this as well to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the whole nation of Israel. God's greatest leader, Moses, was now dead. Naturally, Joshua had some thoughts running through his mind. It may have caused him to shiver when he thought about it. Now, he has the responsibility that Moses had. Not only that, he also had to ask himself this question, will they follow me? They had just finished mourning the death of Moses for about 30 days, and now these people are looking at him, and Moses had to ask, will they follow me? Suppose I fail at this task. Moses was one of the most greatest leaders of that day, probably the greatest, one of the greatest leaders at that time. Moses had spoken to God. God had worked through Moses, saw how he worked through Moses. And so Joshua was starting to question, who am I to follow the footsteps of such a great man? More than likely, this must have run through Joshua's mind several times. See, Joshua was with Moses for 40 years in the wilderness as they wandered through it. Joshua was with Moses when he watched him walk in the Pharaoh's place, was the most powerful man on the earth at the time, only with a shepherd's staff. He said to Pharaoh, you know, let my people of Israel go. He was with them when he walked through the Red Sea and saw Moses lift that rod, the sea parted, and he watched the Egyptian charioteers just drown when they crossed the river. So Joshua saw all of that. He was with Moses. Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai when God came down in fire and thunder and spoke to him face to face, gave him the law, and gave him the commandments. Joshua watched him come down from the mountain with his face so aglow that he could hardly even look at him, because Moses had been in the presence of the glory of God. Joshua was with Moses when Moses got water out of a rock. So Joshua watched miracle after miracle, event after event. Joshua witnessed all of this. But again, Joshua was taken back, because although he witnessed this, Joshua wasn't confident or sure of himself. So I do not think any of us could begin to understand the weight of what Moses, or what Joshua was going through, and that fear that had gripped him. The reason I know, because God understands where we are when we go through certain situations. So that's why he said to Joshua several times, be very courageous. He said, take courage, Joshua. God knew what Joshua was thinking. He knew that he knew what he's feeling. You see, all of us face those times and circumstances in our lives where, for brief moments, we have that fearful moment in each situation. But he doesn't want us to stay there. I mean, you walk in the hospital, see a spouse, a friend. You know, you get fired, lose your job. No one's asking us to be Superman or Superwomen, but we don't stay there. You can have that brief moment of angst. Now, in all fairness, I'm getting to what I want to get to. You lose a loved one, a job, a new challenge in life arise, a kid is sick. I've never been in that situation, so I can't stand up and tell you, like, yeah, be like Joshua. God said to him, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But the principles are there where Joshua did overcome. And he, just like Moses, he was following the steps and he trusted God towards the end. But before all of this, Joshua just had fear like the rest of us. But this is not the will of God for us to be, to live in fear. Go back to what Paul said to young Timothy. He did not give us the spirit of fear. He said, power, love, and sound mind. God intends for his children to be bold, to trust him, and to walk in victory, not defeat. So I'm speaking to myself. I should never walk around in defeat. Should never have that attitude. But things will happen. But you don't want to lose your contentment, your joy, your peace that the good Lord has blessed us. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit so much. Now, if you're living in sin and you're not a believer, you might want to fear God. But we fear the Lord as well, but we fear him with reverence and awe. We fear him because we love what he's done for us. So the reverence that we have for him is to acknowledge the greatness of God. So that is a lovely and healthy fear to have. So in that sense, absolutely, you fear the Lord in that sense. But one of the wonderful things about this scripture, and again, where I'm going is that the why, when we face certain challenges, what happens? So I'll use myself as an example. So the flip side is that I'm going to be the, can I have that picture of me, that second picture? That's me in 2020. So Angela knows, the kids don't so much know, but in 2020, what happened was when COVID came out, and I literally have stopped watching the news. I get all my news from alerts these days. I don't watch Fox, CNN, MSNBC, ESPN, yes, but none of the news show. I get my alerts from, papers, blah, 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 whatever. But during COVID, when COVID first came out, before they knew what it was, all I kept hearing was, more Black and Latinos are dying because of COVID, dot, 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 dot. And this is what was being splattered on the news. The numbers were higher for people of color than overall. So in my head, I'm like, wow, if I get it, I want, and knowing that it was a respiratory disease at the time, I said, I want to be in the best shape of my life. And we were all home, masking. So in the morning, I was running up and down 206 like a deer, 8-10 miles a day, just running. That's all I was doing was running. I think I was seven days a week. Coach knows, he's back there. He probably passed me a few times running up 206. I was just running because I wanted to be in the best shape possible. And I was just fearful of leaving this life and not being able to see your daughter get married or grands, or I don't know. I was just very fearful at the time. What came out of that, I was running back and forth to the ER because at the time I didn't know. Excuse me, I was having these attacks. And what was happening, my body, I had no control over it. Literally, my body was just like, and my heart felt like it was racing and all this type of stuff. It was really crazy back then. And then one time in the ER, one doctor came up to me, it was Robert Wood Johnson, after probably about, I don't know, man, maybe 8 or 9 bouts of going to the ER, because that's what was, these attacks were coming. It was just weird. But this one doctor said to me, he said, I have somebody like you, your age, who's older than you and who's younger than you, who are here for the same reason. And he says, you have acute something, you know, I don't know what, but it was anxiety. So I feel relieved? I was like, okay. So he started talking about something about, you know, yin yang zen and meditating. I'm like, we just need to get me out of these panic attacks. So that was then. But it's like I failed that test back then because I had given in to the fear about death, about what COVID could do to me, it could do to my family, you know, taking away some income from Angela and the kids. And so I was fearful of death. I was fearful of not being around, .. And that was in 2020. It was really a challenge because medically, fear impacts your health. It really does. If you are living in anxiety, if you're living in fear about doubts, this is why God was telling Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever thou goest. And I didn't understand that at the time. I've been born again for years. Oh, my gosh. But now, listen, and here's the crazy part. I'm like, oh, I'm tithing. Oh, I'm helping out. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then, lo and behold, God says, try this on for size. But what I didn't do at the time is I didn't see the Lord in it. All I saw was the fear of what's going on with, you know, my heart. That's what, because we always thought it was my heart. It had nothing to do with my heart. It was just, I was really having, you know, these attacks. And if you've never had anxiety or angst, somebody to explain that to you, it really is real. So you have to, I'm no doctor, no nurse, whatever. I can just tell you what worked for me. What worked for me was prayer, having folks pray for me, pastors and Bob DeMarco, you know, all the guys, you know, the guys here at church, they knew about it. And one thing I know, God was always on time with that situation. And so God understands that. And he doesn't want us to live in fear, courageously, boldly, confidently. Trust him in every aspect of your life. So when hardships and trials come, you know, you want to face them with the Lord. You face those trials, you face whether failures or not. What is God's word to us? Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Be bold. Place your faith and trust in the living God. So the other, and I did speak with these two gentlemen last night, how I know courageousness works and faith works. And it's not to say from 2020 to today, my faith has not been strengthened. I use that as an example, you know, for transparency, because it's real. I mean, in life, you will be confronted with situations that rubber meets the road, and you have to incorporate what you're living through Scripture. And that will let you know what a true and living God you serve. So I use Bob DeMarco, and I did talk with Steve and Bob before I mentioned them. But these are guys where on Sunday mornings, we're all in the room together before we usher. Years ago, we would come together and really be like little college boys and just sit around, talk politics, and really sit around and do nothing before church. But the bond was still there. But, you know, Pastor Joe Vinny and Pastor Paul, they said, hey, guys, when you guys come in on Sunday mornings, why are you guys doing devotionals? And when I say over the past year plus, those devotionals before we went to our posts have been one of the best things for us, because real life, we talk real life in those rooms. We talk death, we talk sickness, we talk cancer, we talk money challenges, we talk what's real, work, losing job, spouses, and you know, this and that. But it's all to encourage and to strengthen us. And so we sift and sand one another. But we always come back to Scripture. And one of the things that happened where Bob and Steve have been such an encouragement to myself and so many others is that about a year ago, Bob, a little bit more than a year ago, Bob DeMarco went through something where, you know, he needed a stent put in and da-da-da. Well, Bob was frail and weak. I was worse than his wife, Roberta. I said, bro, you need to go to the ER and fake it, man. You need to let them do the surgery now. And Bob was, to a man, Bob stood right there like, No, I'm trusting the Lord. My date is such and such and such. I'm trusting God. His providence will be done. I'm like, huh? I said, if you know you go to ER, they take care of you sooner than later. You don't say you trust him, man. And this was recently. So here I am not taking my own medicine, saying, okay, trust in the Lord, trust in your Lord. And Bob stood on principle and faith, and he said, I trust God. And it's all in his will and timing, James. I'm like, walked away and said, Roberta, get him. Because I'm like, nah, man. But because he was looking weak and frail. And Bob came through it, but he and I, we talked and shared, because it's just like, okay, we all have our valley experiences, but it just goes back to just trusting in his providence and his will. And that's what he showed me. And Steve, for you guys don't know Steve Gass, I told Steve, I'm not sure if he's watching or not, share with him. Steve has been an inspiration to many of us, because him and Teresa, they're solid parents, they're solid Christians, and they have dealt with nothing that the Lord didn't put on that he couldn't handle. But I look at them and I admire them, because you don't curse God. You may question, but they're faithful to their family. They're faithful to their siblings. They're faithful to others in the midst of some trials. I mean, we're talking about, you know, losing family members and death and, you know, struggles and having to, you know, fight systems because of your children. These are like, this is a family who I look to because I know they're in the Word. When we were together on Sunday mornings, we're in there and I'm listening to men of God just echo Scripture. And they anchor verse after anchor verse. I mean, it's all coming from the Holy Spirit. So I say that to say is that that 2020 test, yeah, I didn't do too well. But 2023, 2024, I'm watching other men, and also other women too, just live out who Christ says we are to be in them. Now, how do we get this courage? So I have four principles. Oh, can you put the picture of my son? See that hair? That's what you call COVID hair. You couldn't get to a barbershop. Why do I bring that up? Only to embarrass him because he's here. That's it. You can take it down. There was no reason for that picture. Other than just what I did. You're welcome. So, again, sharing principles of courage. So, four principles that I believe that will enable all of us to withstand the vicissitudes of fear and stand strongly and to encourage one another. And again, this is all based on the first 9 verses of Joshua. So, what is the first principle for building strong courage? It is meditating on the Word of God. I simply mean this. When you and I are facing circumstances or situations in life, if you don't have a passage or know a passage of scripture, you find one. Go to the back of your Bible, your concordance, whether it's about guilt, enemies, whatever it is, you find a passage of scripture that helps you with what you are dealing with and you begin to meditate on that word, okay? That means you read them, you talk to God, you ask him to speak to your heart and open your heart. It helps you to understand, ask God to help you to understand what he's saying to you. You may have one passage of scripture that you stick to for a long time. It may be several passages of scriptures, but meditate on the word of God. Now, if meditating on the word of God is principle one, how long should we, when should we meditate on that? What is it?
Every day,
day and night. Just like it said in the scripture, meditate on the word of God day and night. Amen? Day and night. He says, if you and I want to succeed in life, you want to prosper in life, this is the way to do it. Now, these passages have nothing to do with like, oh, this is the, you don't want to categorize this because it's coming out of Joshua. That happened thousands of years ago. That's what God said to Joshua. No, that's what he said to us today. We are to apply this to us. That's why we have the living Bible. You know, God meant this for each and every one of us. He said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He said it to him 3 times. Now, if God said, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, and didn't tell us how, then we'd have a problem. It would be unfair to us. But he actually did. God said, I will be with you. I will go before you. He said, meditate on the word of God. That's building into your mind what God thinks. What God thinks, here's what God says. I will be with you. I will go before you. Now, I'm reading this, when I read the scriptures, if God is saying, God will be with me, and God's going before me, and he's going to take care of a situation, guess what? Then, as we grow and mature, like Bob DeMar, I think this is what Bob said. Bob said, I'm not worrying or fretting. Bob stood on faith, and he said, I am not worrying or fretting, and he trusted the living and true God. We can be courageous and bold as well. What builds courage? Meditating on the Word of God, because here's what happens. The Word of God begins to be imprinted on your mind. You keep saying and believing, and it becomes a part of your spirit. Meditating on the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit can bring to mind scriptures just like that. Just like that. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And I'm like, it's here. It's on my shoulders now. And even coming up here tonight, I was like, you know, I prayed in the car here, and Pastor Joe prayed with me. And I gave this over to God a couple weeks ago. I said, I'm thankful to be here. It's nice to share a word or two. But I gave this over to the Lord. I'm not out of fear, concern. I'm like, you know what? I know who I am in Christ. So my goal is just to really share some words, be thankful. But I'm not going to be fearful about coming before the body or sharing a word or two. So first, meditating on the word of God. So let's look at verse 8 again. Verse 8, Joshua 1. Because this is going to lead into the second principle. Verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you have success. So he said, hey, if you want strong faith, you meditate on the word successfully. If you want strong faith, the next, number two is, you obey the word of God. You obey the word of God. So whether God tells you to do this, you listen. Nobody can tell me who is a Christian that you can walk in disobedience and have strong courage or faith. Nobody, because I know disobedience, it short circuits confidence, disobedience short circuits faith, disobedience short circuits joy, disobedience short circuits courage. So we can't be disobedient and say, hey, we want this courage and faith. You got to trust the pillars now. Okay, the first one is meditating on the word of God. When? Day and night. Second one is what? Obeying the word of God, right? And again, listen, the beauty about being a Christian is not that we sin. Listen, when he went to the cross, the blood of Christ, that was for you and I. He didn't die so we could sin, but if and when we do, man, we can give it over to, we repent, we change, and we keep going. We keep going. So listen, if you want courage, meditate on the word of God. Find out what God has to say and obey his word. So the third pillar I want to talk about, how long do I have to, what, 10 or 10:30? 11 o'clock. Okay, 11 o'clock. Okay, good. We're going to have intermission in about 30 minutes, guys, so just bear with me. A third thing that is particularly important that's helped me out was not only to meditate on the word, not only to obey, but know the promises of God. Know the promises of God and claim them. Know the promises of God and claim them. Let's look at the book of Acts. Go back to the Apostle Paul, chapter 18. Can we put that up, guys? Thank you. Chapter 18, verse 9. Now, context here is that, you know, Paul's in Corinth and things were getting a little tough for him. Lots of rejection, animosity, and hostility. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in the city. Here's what I notice. Every single time God calls us to do anything, he assures us what? That I am with you. So God doesn't call you to do anything and not be with you. But we just have to claim that and know that he's with us. Every single time God called us to do something, again, he says, I'm with you. Who is this God? Who is I? I am omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, mercy, greatness, power. Who is this God? If he's saying, I'm going to be with you, what does this God have to offer? Anytime you and I walk into a situation of life, we have omnipotence God with us. We have that power. He makes a way for us to prosper, to be successful. By meditating upon the word of God, understanding of his will, obeying and claiming the promises. Philippians 4:13. I can do right through Christ. Philippians 19. What does verse 19 say? He says, and my God will meet all your needs to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. So those are promises that we claim that I for sure wasn't committed to all the time. But as you grow in Christ, that is what happened. You start claiming those promises. You trust in the word. Again, meditating on the word of Christ, God. 2, obeying the word of God. 3, knowing the promises and claiming those promises. Claiming those promises. So when I think about some of the promise, at least halfway decent, what I've gone through, I can't think of one reason why I wouldn't trust the Lord. Because we're all products of who we are in our experiences. And as we grow in our faith, I look back and I realize not one solitary time did the Lord let me down. Not one time did he let me down. It may have not gone in my carnal way the way I would like it, but I look back and I'm thankful because he's done a work in our lives, in my life, health-wise, you know, I'm not even talking about financially, like, because I think I'm just rich in the glory of God by himself. Money is not the end-all to be-all. I look at my health, I'm like, Lord, thank you, because he's taking us all through something, that some trials. You should teach my kids that, you know, in life, God, there are ordained trials in life, but sometimes there are trials where we just do, I can say this, because I've said this to Josh and James, I used to say to them, like, God gives us ordained trials for a reason, but sometimes we just do stupid things where that was on you. So as a parent, I tell them all the time, it's better to keep God first than to get out in front of him. Amen? So recalling God's past faithfulness and victories certainly is one of the ways that Joshua was strengthened as he thought back to how God had worked in Moses' life. Miracle after miracle, walking through the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, you know, going to Pharaoh, all these things over and over again is why Joshua can look back. And if you go look at Joshua 1:5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I say that again or underscore it because that's the difficulty of not being in the word, because he said it to him. He said it over and he said, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we have that authority, we have that power, what's holding us back? Why is there difficulty and hardship? You probably say, man, hey, I don't want that difficulty, hardship, battles in life. You know, if your faith is weak, what happens? God sends us enough difficulties and hard, at least for myself, what I realize, he sends these trials and hardship first. First, they're like the thimble size, very small size. Then we get the pint size. Then we get the half gallon size or the quart size. Then you get the half gallon size. And what trips us up? The 50-gallon size problems. That's what gets us. That's what trips us up to a 50-gallon drum size. Now, they may seem overwhelming to someone who's not in the faith, but listen, if you recall how God handled those thimble size first, then the quart size, half gallon, gallon, God was always there. So when you get that 50-gallon size, nothing changes. It's the big battle, but he's still with you. Nothing changes. So what should I do at this point? Should we feel overwhelmed? Should we fear God? Nah, the difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, the hardships, the trials, the failures, the victories, those are times where we have to look to God's faithfulness and past victories. Look to his faithfulness and his past victories in your lives. Apply them to your lives. Now, so again, I've been a Christian long enough, heartaches, problems, trials, disappointments, failures. And one of the most powering things for me over the years has seen how God has brought me through each of them. And I may not have seen them at the time, but it's sort of like if you think about Peter and Daniel, Peter on the water, when Peter was focused on the Lord, looking at him, man, Peter was golden. He was good. But we're just like Peter in some respects. God can give us this right here. You're like, wow, I'm strengthened, I'm empowered, I'm encouraged. But the minute that rubber meets the road, what Peter did is he took his eye off the Lord, boom. And when problems come, like even Daniel in the lion den, we didn't see Daniel climbing up the bars. Daniel looked to the Lord. He looked to the Lord. And that's what we're tasked to do, like Joshua. Trust in him. It's really about obedience in one sense. It's not about how I feel, how you feel. Obey me. Obey the Lord. Feelings can sometimes be a hindrance to us, but it's not the Lord. It's not that he doesn't get it, because he acknowledged that with Joshua. He understood what Joshua was feeling. God has never failed us one solitary moment. I have to see the Lord in my situations. I may have not done it the greatest job at it at times, but as we grow and we talk about faith and you grow in it, that's just been the beauty of life's challenges and trials, growing in those valley experiences. So no matter what, you trust the living God. No matter what is going on in your life, you trust him. You meditate on the word. You obey. You recall past promises, right? Recall them. Claim those victories, guys. Claim them. But you trust in the Lord with all your might. And, you know, don't give Satan a strong foothold into what the Lord has blessed you with. Because the Bible is clear. I mean, listen, that's the advantage we have. I was about to pick up the Bible. The Bible's right here. This is just a cover. But the Bible is just full of so many reasons why we should just continue to trust in the Lord. Everything in heaven just comes down when you have imprinted in your head and you're meditating. All those resources, the Spirit comes down on your shoulders and it overtakes the situation. You're not focused on your situation or your problem. You're focused on him. And I'll use my man. And again, it's not to say I haven't. The 2020 is not the same 24. The Lord and I has, you know, he's allowed me to make so many leaps in him. But I use Bob as a great example because he's my brother in Christ. I was, I was feeling for him. Like, hey, man, you know, let's get this taken care of. But he stood resolute, not on his own, but he stood in Christ. You know, he stood on the shoulders of Christ Jesus. And I appreciate Bob for that. All right. And again, I think, I'm going to start closing now. Intermission's coming up, I should say. Intermission's coming up. So I do want to say that I don't know how to explain it. Of being like Christ in Christ is that the world starts to see something in you that they don't have. And what I mean by that, one thing I think I know what my talents are. It's really being able to just really engage people, embrace them, and share a kind word, something that can encourage a young person, old person, doesn't matter. I showed you that picture when I was looking so resolute and, you know, firm early on. That wasn't me as a Christian. But now I'm like I'm kind of easy. I mean, I really enjoy Joshua. Give you an example. We were up visiting, dropping James off 2 years ago at Syracuse. This is a kid I lived with my entire life. But yeah, you don't even know what's coming, do you? So Josh, we were finishing Dunkin' Donuts, dropping James off for convocation, and we're coming out of Dunkin' Donuts, and some of the facility workers at Syracuse were sitting off to the side. Do you remember what you said to me? Joshua said, I spoke to the gentleman. I said, hey guys, good morning. Joshua said, Dad, you speak to everybody. Like, you know me my entire life. But that's who I am. Like, you know, you go out of your way to speak to people, make them feel warm. And, well, hey, I'm a Christian. Speak to me. I speak to you. No, it's just who we are in Christ Jesus. And so one of the benefits, guys, of, again, obeying the word, meditating on it, is that the unbelieving world sees something in you, and they want what you have. They want what you have. I only understood Bob's situation because I was near him, but if I were not a believer, and I'm sure that non-believer would have been running to the ER, say, hey, I need this procedure done right now because, you know, I'm frail and, you know, really weak. But I know Bob showed me something in those moments last year. I'm saying, man, I got to strengthen my faith. So for the four pillars for today, ladies and gentlemen, number one, whoa, let's try this again. We speak in unison. Right, exactly, Dave. I don't know what's going on. Like, we need coffee. Number one, meditate on the word of God. Number two, obey. Number three, right, nope, and claim them. And four, yes, recall his faithfulness and victories, guys. Recall those past faithfulness and victories. I'm a big believer. The principles, I mean, these aren't something that I really, I have this Charles Stanley. Don't get me wrong, Joe. You're my first guy, me and you, Joe. But I have this principle book that my mom and I, we love this book because we kind of relate to some of this. But there are tons of principles out there, ladies and gentlemen. But I just really want to share those four with you. Encourage you that no matter how young or older you are, that we could all use a stronger dose of what, you know, God encouraged Joshua with. He said, be strong, be courageous. He said, fear not. So I'll just end on those words and I'll pray us out. And you guys want to come up? Lord God in heaven, we just come to you right now, Father. Just pray right now, dear Lord, for any of us in here, if we're sick, not feeling well, those who are watching live stream, dear Lord, any unspoken prayers, Father, we just thank you for this message tonight, dear Lord. I just pray that one seed would have been implanted, dear Lord, in one person's head today, and that they could use that message of courage and just strength and faith, dear Lord, in you, that we would apply your word day and night, dear Lord, just meditating on you. Just go before us right now, dear Lord. Give us safe mercy, travels home, and we just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, dear Lord. We ask all of this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Every Generation from Calvary Chapel Crossfield. We meet for Bible study Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sunday service begins at 10:30 a.m. On Sundays, we have children's church for all ages, in addition to infant and nursery care. You can find out more about the ministry here at Calvary Chapel Crossfields by going to www.cccrossfields.org, where you can also watch or listen to previous messages. If you have any questions or have a prayer request, please email us at contact@cccrossfields.org. Thanks for listening, and may God bless.